Okay, this is Parshat Lech Lecha, and as we have there at the beginning of the Sedra, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, God said to Avram. At this point his name is still Avram, Abram. At the end of the Sedra his name will be changed to Avraham, but at this point God says to him, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. It's an intriguing form, this double form. Lech Lecha. It's, and to translate it as, it's, you know, Lech is go. So it could almost be translated Lech Lecha, go to yourself. And then it says, Me'atzecha, from your land, Umimoladetecha, and from your birthplace, Umibeit Avicha, and from your father's house, the house of your father, Ela Aretz Asher Areka, to the land which I will show you. Ve'escha legoy gadol, and I will make you into a great nation. Ve'avarechecha, and I will bless you. Ve'agad lo shemecha, and I will make your name great. Ve'eye bracha, and you will be for a blessing. Ve'avarecha mevarechecha, and I will bless those who bless you. U'mekalelcha aor, and those who curse you, I will curse. Ve'nivruchu v'cha, and they'll be blessed through you. Kol mishpachot ha'adama, all families of the earth. So that is a very powerful statement made by God to Abraham, which in a sense is made to every Jew. And that's the theme that the discourse explores, said Parshat Lech Lecha, 1984. The Shabbat of this week's Sedra, 1984. So we will try to explore that together and to enable us to open our minds and our hearts to the teaching which is here. We have the Nigun, the melody of the Maimon. Oh, yo, ya, 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 ma, ya, yo, yo. Ho, ya, ra, yo, yo, yo. Ho, ya, ya, ma, ya, ra, ma, ma, ma. Ha, ya, ra, ma, ho, ya, ra, ma, ma. Oh, ya yiram ba yam bam bo, ya yiram ba yam ba yom, ha yiram ba ma yiram ba yom, ba ya yam bam bam bam, oh ya yiram bam, oh ya, oh ya yam. Vayom Hashem el Avram, God said to Avram, Lech lecha me'atzecha. Go for yourself from your land, umimoladetecha, from your birthplace, umibeit avicha, from the house of your father, el aretz asher areka, to the land which I will show you, va'avarechecha, and I will bless you, va'agad l'shemecha, I'll make your name great, ve'yei bracha, and you will be for a blessing, va'avarecha mevarechecha, etc. I will bless those who bless you, v'nivruchu b'chol kol mishpachot ha'adama, and they'll be blessed to you, all families of the earth. Okay, that's the quotation of these psukim, these verses which open the Sedra. V'yadua hadiyuk b'zeh, it's known, the comments, the questions which are raised about this b'drushei rabotenu nesiyenu, in the teachings of the previous Chabad Rebbeim. And he gives a list of some of the books, B'Torah Or, by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, U'B'Or HaTorah, by the Tzemach Tzedek, U'B'Drushim Shel Ach Hazeh, and in other discourses, and in footnote 3, it gives, it references the writings of the 4th Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel, and the 5th Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, several places, and also of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the 6th Rebbe. So virtually every Rebbe is being referenced of the Chabad Rebbe. Now, what is it that they say? What's the question they raise? Bilochora ain't muvan, because at first sight it's not understood. Kafisha hikshu hamafoshim shlifneze. In fact, earlier commentators also asked this question, such as in footnote 4, it mentions Reb Moshe Alshich, famous Bible commentator, Torah commentator, who lived in Tzfat. Many of the Alshich's questions and points are actually brought in Hasidic teachings later on. Ma'o lech lecha me'atzecha. What does it mean, the double expression, lech lecha? Oh, no, that's a different question, sorry. What does it mean, lech lecha me'atzecha? Why does it say, go from your land, first of all? Yeah, that's right. It's the double expression, is the first point. D'hayu lo lomar, lech me'atzecha. It should have just said, go from your land. V'lo lech lecha. Why does it say, go, and then again the word, lecha, to you, from you? Gam yadua hadiyuk, b'seda hamikra. Then there's another point in the order of this text. Which is brought in one of the Hasidic teachings mentioned. The order, it says, me'atzecha from your land, u'mimeladetecha, your birthplace, u'mibeit avicha, your father's house. It sounds as if it really should be the other way around. D'lechora ha'seda al-pi pshuto haya tzarich liyot lehefach. The order should, in a simple sense, should have been just the opposite. First of all, a person leaves his father's house. Then he goes away from his birthplace, the particular locale where he was born. The neighborhood where he was brought up, where he was born, brought up, as it says in the Midrash. And after that, from the land, the perusho aparchi shalach, kedi ita b'midrash. The whole, the territory that he was in, so he's going now, whether it's from a wider region. So, it seems that you should say he goes first from the smallest locale, that's the father's house, then the neighborhood, and then the wider region, and all of that he's leaving. But in fact, it puts it the other way around. Gam ma'o akesh, so there's the question, why should that be? Gam ma'o akesh, the inyan zeh, also there's the question, what's the relationship between this whole idea of Abraham leaving, L'mach katuba chakar, to the concept which is written afterwards, va'avarachama varachecha, I will bless those who bless you. The whole idea of Abraham bringing blessing into the world in some sense. But all the yukim and the other questions, k'mavua b'drushei rabotenu nesiyenu, as explained in the discourses of the previous Chabad Rebbeim, al pasuk zeh, on this verse, odrushim hamavarim, Pasuk Zeh, or discourses which expound this verse, Ma'adma Zakein from Rabbi Shneur Zalman, Va'adma Tzemach Tzedek, and the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, Va'nesim Ledorotayim, the teachers, the leaders of Chabad for their generations, Ad Ledruchei Kvot Kedushat Mori V'Chomi Admor, till we come to the teachings of the previous Rebbe, who is the Rebbe's father-in-law, Nesi Doreinu, the leader of our generation, as the Rebbe always termed his father-in-law. And now, one of the points about the Rebbe mentioning all the other Rebbeim is that there's always the sense in the Rebbe's teachings that he is building up from the six Chabad Rebbeim who were before him, and he is the seventh Rebbe, and that gives a special quality to our generation, that we are the seventh generation. So generally, a discourse by the Rebbe in some way will mention each of the other Rebbeim. Right, so we have basically three questions. One is the double expression, lech lecha, go for yourself. Why not just go? Secondly, the order of describing where he's going from. And thirdly, what is the connection with all of this idea of going away from somewhere? How does that connect to the idea of being a blessing, that those who bless you will be blessed? How does that connect? Now, the Rebbe's style, although very often Hasidic teachings or Kabbalistic teachings, they may begin with a question. But to begin with a string of questions like this, which the Rebbe very often does, is more a style of the revealed Torah in certain ways. That's precisely the approach of sort of a Talmudic discourse, you know, asking one question after another and then trying to resolve the question. And also sometimes that itself will focus on one question. But the Rebbe was this question and answer mode of communication was very much the Rebbe's style in many different areas. And it's as if the question, by seeing the question about something, beckons you to look more carefully at that concept and to go beyond its appearances and discover what it's really saying within. And the idea that the question, the presence of the question, is a kind of some kind of concealment, and then the answer is a revelation or redemption. As at the Pesach Seder, see, the question and answer is typically the mode at the Seder night. And there it's talking about going out of exile, and it's as if the question is a moment of exile, and then the answer is a moment of redemption. And there's a sense in which that carries through. Vihine, behold, Nukudat HaBir B'zeh, the central point of the explanation of this, with Hushim HaNiskarim La'el, as in the discourses mentioned above, the Inyan HaLichazu, is that the idea of this going, this movement, Lech Lecha, go for yourself, Yesh Bo Shnei Inyanim, it's got in it two aspects. And that explains why there's a double expression. HaLicha Milamata Lamaila, going from below to above, and going from above to below. So that's what it means. Lech lecha, it's really as if it was saying lech in a double way. Go. Go from below to above, and go from above to below. Since this idea is part of the Torah Shehi Ora Nitzchit, which is an internal teaching, it's known, it's understood that these two modes of going, Yeshnam Bavodat Kol Echad V'Achat Yisrael, is there in the service of every individual Jew. The idea of moving from below to above and moving from above to below. Ubefchat Shinyan Zeh Haya Eitzel Avraham, especially since this was for Avraham himself. The Maisa Avot Siman Levanim, because the action of the fathers, particularly of the patriarchs, is a sign for the children. And so therefore, if he did this, it means that we also do it. Uchmavu b'makom acher, as it explains at another place, HaPerush b'zeh, a meaning of this, the Ein zeh rak siman, it doesn't mean it is only, the meaning of this, it's not only that it's a sign for the children, Ele netinat koach, it empowers the children. Uptichat hatzinor, it opens the channel. Vahaderech, it opens the pathway. Avur habanim, for the children. In other words, the things that Abraham did, and the way the Chumash tells us about them, they are really opening the pathway, giving the power and the ability to his descendants after him to do the same thing. Lahakel aleim lahasig madrega zu, to make it easier for them to grasp, to reach this level. Ki mekeven she'inyan zeh haya etzel avot, since this concept was there for the patriarchs, hare zeh over b'yerusha el habanim, this passes over in an inheritance for the children. Now, this is an interesting construct. It strikes me as we read it together. It's a famous idea that the action of the patriarchs is a sign for the children and empowers the children. Ramban, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, Nachmanides, discusses in Bereshit, why are we being told all these details about the activities of Abraham? And he presents this as the answer, that there is some sense in which everything that Abraham is doing is opening a channel for us, that we're able to follow suit, we're able to do that. And we're being bequeathed the power to do that. Now, it's interesting when you consider a Rebbe, a Hasidic Rebbe, telling this to in a mystical discourse, in a Kabbalistic discourse, to his hearers, to Hasidim, to others who are listening, because there's a sense in which the whole concept of a Rebbe is itself cutting a kind of a pathway that other people are able to follow. That's the very concept of the kind of spiritual guide that a Rebbe is facing. He's not just a learned scholar who pronounces what is kosher and what is not kosher. He's actually a guide, like a guide on a mountain. And the fact that the guide climbs up that narrow ledge and leaps across that gap, which you would have thought yourself might be impossible, but the fact that the guide says, come on, it's, we can do it, you know, leaps over. And so you feel you can also do it. So you follow. Of course, the guide has to have in mind what are the limitations of the people he's guiding. But there's a sense in which, this could be understood as a personal statement as well, a Rebbe to Hasidim opening pathways, to the reader. To the reader or to the one who is studying this text, then in some way that pathway is open to us and we too are being empowered to follow that as it says here, that Abraham is empowering every future descendant, every Jew. Of course, all the proselytes are also descendants of Abraham, because the proselyte to Judaism is a son of Abraham and Sarah, or daughter of Abraham and Sarah. So everyone in the Jewish people in some way connects in to Abraham and Sarah.
I mean, I think that's profound, but also what you're saying is that, using this word bequeathed, which basically sums everything up, that we have bequeathed, we have been bequeathed this inheritance via the patriarchs, and that a Rebbe figure, as you say, is able to draw more energy, more kedusha, through this connection to the patriarchs, and to lead, as you say, to cut a pathway of inspiration for other people. It's just that obviously a Rebbe figure is one who's an elevated soul and is more able to do that. I mean, you mentioned Abraham, but of course there are all the other patriarchs who represent figuratively and also metaphorically particular aspects of Judaism. I can't remember the actual ins and outs of it, but I know, for example, Jacob, represents something, some particular key quality, and then obviously you've got Moses.
Right. Well, one is truth. The concept of truth, also of mercy.
And also, of course, not to forget the prophetesses, in the sense of how Rachel, Rachel,
right,
also has a prominent role to play, and this is all part of the spiritual qualities that are bequeathed to us by God.
Yes, I mean, it's very interesting that the Amida prayer begins with reference to the patriarchs. It's as if our bond with the patriarchs helps us be who we are. It's and this sense, there's also the idea that all Jewish souls are connected together, not only in the present, but also going back in time. So each individual now is connected to the patriarchs and the matriarchs. It's they're all parts of
Does this tie in also what we were talking about earlier in terms of the 600,000 root souls in the respect that if you're getting to the if you're focusing on particular strong aspects of those root souls, I mean, in fact the patriarchs, the prophets and the prophetesses are in fact the big strong roots, if you like, of which those 600,000 root souls stem.
Yes. I think it does relate to that. And therefore the achievements that those root souls, as you put it, that they achieve, help every individual soul later on. Okay, so over the page, the next paragraph, on page 34, Va'inyan hu, and the matter is as follows, Hinei pirish lech lecha, the idea of going for yourself, milamata lamayla, of going from below to above, who is as follows. Shetzorich liyois, there has to be halicha me'atzecha, the going away from now, your land. That's the first statement in the verse. Now, atzecha means land, but it also means something else. It means rutzono shel adam. It's the will of a person. So in other words, in order to answer the second question about the order of your land, your birthplace, your father's house, it's translating those concepts into a different kind of terminology. Your land means the will of a person. Now, Eretz is an interesting word, land, because it's it relates to the word ratz, which means run, and the word ratzon, which means will. There's a saying in the Talmud or Midrash, Lama nikcha shema Eretz, why is it called Eretz, the land of Israel? Mipnesha ratza, it ran to do the ratzon, the will of God. In other words, somehow connecting running and the will. And that sense of land as will, here it's focusing on the idea, he gives a reference to Bereshit Rabbah, to Midrash Rabbah. It's saying that what you're going away from is our ordinary will. We are leaving our ordinary will towards some higher dimension of will. What is umimoladetecha? The birthplace, heim hamochin, that means one's mind. So there's will and then mind. Why is one's birthplace called, why is the mind called birthplace? Kedeita b'tanya, as we learn in Tanya, shamochin hein hamolidin et hamidot. It's the mind which gives birth to the emotions. The two aspects of mind, wisdom and emotion, wisdom and understanding, chokhmah and binah, they combine together in order, through the process of contemplation, in order to give birth to the emotions. So that means two aspects of the mind give birth to the emotions. As a result, chokhmah and binah are called by, in the Kabbalah, av ve'em, father and mother. So here, that's being translated into this verse, that when it says birthplace, it means the place of your father and mother, and that means the place of wisdom and understanding. So that's the mind of the person. So then, what is your father's house? So Beit Avicha, the house of your father, heinamidot. Those are the very emotions, hanoldot al yedei mochin, which come into being, which are born through the mind. So in other words, we have a structure of will, of mind, of emotion. Umezeh tzarich liod, and from this there has to be a alicha, one has to go el haaretz asher areka, to the land which God will show us. Haynu b'chinas ha'rotzon shel ha'mayla. That means, using the same equality, that land equals will, going towards the upper will, the supernal will. Rotzono shel ha'kadosh baruch hu, the will of the Holy One, blessed be He, the will of God. Va'ad shena'aseh, until you achieve what it says in Pirkei Avot, aseh rotzono kirotzoncha. Make His will like your will. In other words, we abandon what would seem to be our ordinary, conventional will. We leave that, and we ascend to a point where we reach instead a supernal will, a spiritual will, which is beyond our ordinary, limited human will. V'zeu gam mash v'tchila. And that's also why at the beginning, Asa Avraham Mizbeach LaHashem HaNireh Alav, Abraham made an altar for God who appeared to him. That's how it puts it in our Sedra in chapter 12, verse 7, making an altar for God who appears to him. V'achar kach Asa Mizbeach LaHashem Stam. And after that, in verse 8, he made an altar to God, not to God who appeared to him, but to God. That's on the next page. I should really have photocopied that next page as well. But that's a very interesting point. So Abraham went and made an altar. He came into the land of Israel. He made an altar to God who appeared to him. Then the next verse it says, he made an altar to God. Kumavua b'Torah Or, as Rabbi Shlomo Zalman explains in his book Torah Or, that's what it means, going higher and higher, from below to above. First of all, it's God, he reaches the level of godliness who appears to him, which is a more limited level. That means the level of God which relates to revelation, which is at a certain point, that's a limited level. And after that, he goes higher, lebchinat Hashem stam, to the name God without limiting it to God who's revealed to him. So in other words, climbing higher. So that is what it means, lech lecha, going. Let's just see if we can see the list of these points, what one is leaving. One is going away. There's the will, the mind, and the emotions. And one is leaving all that and coming to a supernal will, towards a supernal will. And that shift, that hazazah, that movement away from oneself, that journey away from oneself, that's like a moment of awakening. And the point is that there always has to be a moment of awakening. That's we wake up every morning, but we also have to wake up all the time. And in the course of life, there are moments of awakening where we suddenly make some kind of change, and we, I think it was Rabbi Nachman of Breslov who said that the most important things in life are the moments when one's whole perspective changes completely. Sometimes this happens once in a person's lifetime. Sometimes it happens twice. You know, when a person is 20, he goes to one radical experience, and when he's 40, he goes to another. Sometimes it happens more frequently. Every 5 years, every 3 years, every year. And then Reb Nachman goes further and further, till you get to a person that every day is a completely new situation, as if like for a person who makes one gigantic change in their life. So you can get to the point of a person who every single day he goes through some utter transformation and everything is new, and from now on it's completely different. So here we have this idea of this leaving behind the will, what we thought we wanted. It's interesting. It's we turn back and we can recognize it as the will. We say, look, that's what I wanted, but it was ridiculous. That's and we can go beyond that in the same way we go beyond the mind, the way the mind perceived it, and the emotions which went with it. And so all that is a movement away to a supernal will which is beyond. And all that is the move from below to above, as that step. That's the one part of the Lech Lecha, which is a double movement. So one part of the double movement is a movement from below to above.
And that's the process of self-nullification. In a cell, Bittul.
I think you're absolutely right. That's how the discourse ends up. It defines it as Bittul, as self-nullification. But it's not just the person... it's interesting. You see, one aspect of self-nullification is the person feeling low, as it were. But it is through an apparent feeling of lowness that one is able to slip out of this constraining structure of the will and mind and emotions, which keep us trapped very often. Indeed, even creative processes need this ability to step out of the box that one is in, the way in which one wants certain things and one thinks about it in certain ways and one has a certain code of emotions, but to be able to step out of that and go beyond that and, as it were, let it crumble behind one and then discover a new way of looking and a new understanding and new feelings. So the ability to leave, it's very interesting. Abraham is described as the first Jew. He's the first person among the interesting figures that we've met previously in the Torah, Adam, Eve, Noah. But here, the first thing that Abraham has to do is leave where he is. The Midrash fills in a whole prehistory of Abraham. How he discovered the existence of one God, even though everyone was serving idols, he realized there's one God, and he decided he's going to serve the one God. He's not going to serve idols. He's going to try and stop other people serving idols. But the Torah itself doesn't speak about that. The Torah speaks about movement. Now, you could say that Abraham refusing to serve idols, on account of which Nimrod had him thrown into a furnace and miraculously he survived, as the Midrash tells us. That's an example of leaving behind the will, the mind and emotions of conventional society that were around him, the way he'd been brought up, as Maimonides puts it. Maimonides said it when Abraham was a child, everyone served idols, and Abraham himself also served idols with them. He was part of society. And then suddenly he says, no, he's stepping out of that situation. So that movement. So the way the Torah begins is with movement in a kind of abstract sense, which could be applied to any situation at all. Moving away from these different dimensions, will, mind, and emotion, the land, the birthplace, and the father's house, the household, as it were, what is peopled by the mind.
Nathalie, is it okay?
Yeah, of course.
Just to raise a point. Well, several. The concept of movement, as you defined, strikes me first of all as a physical journey, with Abraham deciding to leave behind him the world of idols and make that actual physical journey away from all that. And then you have the spiritual journey, where, as you say, he's kind of stepping out of his limitations and grasping something that is more elevated. So I understand the sense of movement in that sense. And I get the impression that this kind of self-revelation, you know, aha, the kind of aha movement, the aha moment, the idea that you have, it feels as if you've been awakened. But that's only from your perspective. In terms of the actual elevated level, the elevated level just is, because it's an attribute of God. It's just there. It's new to you, but it's always been there. Now, the one thing I'm not too sure about is that I don't quite get the impression of it being a spiritual journey from, say, like point A to B, because it's like I mean, as you know, Tanya speaks of different levels. So, for example, you've got Yetzirah, which is the level of emotion. So, if you do have that insight and that awakening, so you feel elevated to, say, the level of Yetzirah, it's something that you're blessed with. And obviously, if you're a patriarch and you've had more enlightened experience, you have more of a greater depth, breadth, and you know, length, everything, all the qualities of expansion you have felt within, say, for example, that level of Yetzirah. But you can't stay there. That's my point. God created the world in the sense that everything has to be achieved ultimately in the world of Asiya, the world of physicality. So what my point is that it's not exactly a spiritual journey from point A away from ourselves to point B. What it is that there is that kind of elevating up to point B, but ultimately we have to return to point A, where we're at in the physicality, the world of Yetzirah, in order to effect change.
Well, I think that's a very profound, important point. And that exactly is how the discourse continues, that having understood the idea of movement from below to above, there's then the idea of movement from above to below, right? Which is the complementary movement. And that is the Inyan, that's on page 34, 3, 6, 7, 8 lines down, the Inyan Lech Lecha. Now the concept of Lech Lecha milamayla lamata, the idea of going from above to below, is as follows. Who? Dehine yedua peirush sha'avram, the word Avram can be read as exalted father. See, Avram, the father who is high. Now that's Avram's original name before it was changed into Avraham with an additional hay. And that is called Seichel Hanelam Mikol Rayon, kind of Kabbalistic term. The mind, the intellect, which is hidden beyond any idea. Now that's interesting. The Seichel Bichlal, because mind in general, Hu Ha'Elyon Sheba'Olam, that's the highest part of the world. At any level of world, Seichel, intellect, is the higher dimension, beyond emotion. Ve'inyan Avram, and when we say Avram, the father who is exalted, we're saying Seichel Ram, where it's really Av. Av we've already established. Av means intellect, mind. Like the from your birthplace. It was explained in terms of father and mother being wisdom and understanding. So Avram hu seichel ram, the high father, the exalted father, means exalted mind, exalted intellect. Ad l'b'china seichel, and until one comes to this very exalted dimension, this hidden seichel, which is hidden beyond any idea. So an absolutely exalted dimension of mind. The inyan zeh, and this profound level of mind, nimshach milamayla lamata, comes from above to below, ela aretz asher areka, to the land which I will show you. Abraham's being told that he should leave this place and come to the land which I will show you. And so here, it is translating this into the movement from above to below, the land to which I will show you, the Kaya Svirat HaMalchut, that means the Svira Malchut, the 10th or the 7th Svira, Eretz HaChaim, the land of life, which is the source of this physical world, Ad La'atzot HaChaim Kibbepashtut, till one comes to the lands of life in the literal sense, Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. So we've got this movement from this very exalted level, beyond the mind, the seichel, beyond everything. And that is now flowing down to Malchut, to the Sphira kingship, and from there to the land of Israel, to the reality of life. The land of Israel signifying the actual reality of life. So there's a flow away, and then a flow back into the world. And as you say very clearly, as you say, made a good point, that you can't just be suspended beyond existence. The point is to come back and be in this world. All right, so there is a kind of a theoretical construct, speaking just in abstract terms. He hasn't presented it in terms of anything that we do, except we could maybe understand it in terms of bittul, like David said, self-abnegation. But it hasn't actually concretized it in any more tangible form. But we have a theoretical construct of leaving our will, mind, and emotion, going upwards towards the supernal will, and somehow a complementary movement from above to below, which is going from beyond down into the world and into the reality of life, ultimately. Now, so basically this double movement explains why it is Lech Lecha. So we understand the first question. Why Lech Lecha is a double expression? Because there's a double movement which is being demanded. Abraham is being told to move, but it's not enough just to move in one way. There has to be a double movement. Now this is translated into the actual service of the individual. In terms of the spiritual experience and the sense of connection with the divine that we are able to have in our daily life and in daily Jewish life. New paragraph. Ubiya inyan shnei ofani alicha elu b'avodat ha'adam, explaining these two kinds of movement in the service of the individual. Hinei inyan ha'alicha milamata lamayla, the meaning of the movement from below to above. Hi avodat ha'adam b'tfila, that is the service of the individual in prayer, uva kiyom ha'mitzvot, and by keeping mitzvot. Now, here are two, what we might see as two different modes, and they're very often described in very different terms. Prayer is prayer, saying words of prayer, thinking the meaning of the prayers, preparation for prayer, hitzbonanut, contemplation, it's a whole spiritual process. Keeping mitzvot might be a very active physical process, where one is involved in you know, if mitzvot are baking matzah, to have shmura matzah, Pesach, So that's quite a lot of work. So a mitzvah, or as we just had Sukkot, you know, the getting out a saw and cutting up the wood and nailing it all together as a sukkah, as the time of year when the Jewish people become carpenters to a certain extent, except that modern life has supplanted that with easy to erect instant sukkah, but still. Still, you have to get the tubular frame connected together and get the canvas over the frame. So, in other words, we're talking both about an obviously spiritual movement and also something practical, but both of them are a movement from below to above. Ve'inyin ha'elicha milamayla lamata, and the converse, the movement from above to below, hu'inyan limuta Torah. That's the study of Torah. Study of Torah is the flow downwards. Now, let's take these one by one. The betfilah, because when we consider prayer, inyanau sulam mutzav atza, v'rosho magia hashamayma. The concept of prayer is the ladder which is positioned on the ground and its top reaches heaven, which is, of course, the ladder that Jacob dreamt of in his dream. And the Zohar says at that point that the ladder means prayer. And on the ladder of prayer, one is able to ascend upwards. Ha'aloh milamata lamala, a movement from above, from below to above. V'chein ha-mitzvot, now we come to the other variety of this movement from below to above. The commandments nitnu b'dvarim gashmim dafka. The mitzvot concern practical things, physical things, u'ba'ofen madudu mukval, and in a very specific and limited way. The mitzvot are very carefully defined. D'lo tosaf. We can't add to the mitzvah. V'lo shigra, we can't take away from the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is that there should be 8 strings of the tzitzit, we can't add more strings, that it would be 12 strings of tzitzit. The mitzvah is to have 4 parshiyot from the Torah in the tefillin. We can't say, I'm going to have a 5th parshiyot. V'avodat hi, avodat ha'adam, and the service of man, taking this sort of limited and defined world, the physical world with its own Torah-applied limitations, the service of man, hi la'alotam lamayla, is to elevate them above.
Can I ask him? It says that chena mitzvot nitnu, yeah, bitvarim gashmi. But I would have thought they were from lamala to lamata. Because the mitzvot are from Hashem, and they're a connection, you know, connecting us, but they come from above.
It's interesting. When the mitzvah is in the Torah, then you would say it's from above to below. Mm. Then it's a part of Torah, and it's coming down from above to below to us. However, when we actually have to do the mitzvah,
yeah.
So when we have to get the wood and build the sukkah, so then we're dealing with things in this world. There's a text in the Torah, and there might be a book of halakha, you know, how to build a sukkah. You know, what are the pertinent laws about a sukkah? There mustn't be a tree overhanging, all the different things. Quite complicated. Talmud, Masechet Sukkah, and, you know, different aspects of the sukkah. So that's all in the Talmud, but then it becomes part of the reality, and you're dealing with physical reality. Is this piece of wood long enough? Have we got any nails? Ooh, see if there's any nails in that drawer. Oh, we'll have to go to a shop and buy some nails. You're dealing with heavy reality, tangible reality, and so in that sense, this physical reality is being made into a vessel to express godliness. Kashering a kitchen. Yes, so here one is conforming, trying to conform to profound, subtle distinctions which are described in the Tractate Chulin and in the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, all about the laws of kashrut. But it comes down to physically cleaning something and dipping it in boiling hot water or making it white, red hot with a blowtorch is an extremely practical dimension. So when the mitzvot are in the Torah, that's part of Torah from above to below. But when we are trying to do them physically, we're taking something from below and lifting it upwards.
So from above, they are that's the archetype, the theory, the stereotype of the mitzvah. That's the idea of it. That's from Moshe. And when it's crystallized and becomes an action, that's when it's from us and going upwards.
Yes, directed by Hashem, how we do it. Yes, the same as the prayer itself is also directed from Hashem. Hashem sfasai tiftach, Hashem open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. There's a sense in which the person is so abnegated that they are asking God to open their lips and to make them say the right thing. But nonetheless, it's a movement from below to above. And as in a very, looking at it in a very simple way, shal yedei kiyum mitzvot, through keeping the mitzvot, ha'adam lokeach tvarim gashmim, the person takes physical things be'olam hazeh, which are in this physical world, v'oseh mehem machshirei mitzvah, and he makes from them a means to a mitzvah. The sukkah, making the sukkah, is not yet a mitzvah until we sit in the sukkah. It's by hammering those bits of wood together and putting on the schach, we have made the possibility of keeping the mitzvah of Sukkot. If a person, Erev Sukkot, made a beautiful sukkah, and then he never sat in it for some reason, so the mitzvah has not been fulfilled. But by making the sukkah, he's got the possibility of keeping the mitzvah. So then, ad l'mitzvot mamash, not only is one doing something which makes a mitzvah possible, but it's itself a mitzvah. You're taking, now you've got the sukkah, you're sitting in the sukkah. You've got the lulav and the etrog, you're shaking the lulav and the etrog. Umayla otam l'mayla mala ad l'rosa de insof. Sorry. And through carrying out the mitzvot, one is lifting up this physical dimension of the world to a very exalted level, to the secret of Ein Sof, as it's called in the Zohar, where it's describing what happens when you offer up a korban, as an offering in the temple, the raza da kurbana ola ad raza da Ein Sof. The secret of the offering rises to the secret of Ein Sof. So it's rising higher and higher. So the Rebbe is attributing that also in relation to the performance of mitzvot, that we're using parts of the physical world in order to ascend, to elevate them to a very exalted level. Now that's the tefillah and mitzvot, which are from below to above. Masha'en kein inyana shel Torah. Whereas on the other hand, the nature of Torah, hu amshacha milamayla lamata, that is a flow from above to below, or kumo shekatuv, as it's written, min hashamayim ishmiyacha et kolo, from heaven God let you hear his voice. Now on the next page. Omlam, however, inyana amshacha milamayla, but the idea of this flow from above, hu hanoten koach el avodah milamata lamayla. Okay, now here he's answering your question, David. The flow from above gives the power, empowers the service from below to above. The Torah which comes down, so here we're looking at it in terms of Avodat Adam. So we have Torah coming down, and then we have prayer and mitzvot from below to above. So what he's saying is the Torah which flows downwards gives the person the ability to pray and do the mitzvah which are reaching upwards. So it is a cyclic phenomenon. Ukapashuta inyan, as expressed in simple terms, Shatorai bevchinat moed derech, the Torah is the guide el avodat ha'adam, for the service of the person, bekiyum mitzvot, for the keeping of mitzvot, etc., milamata lamaila, from below to above. So there is the flow down and the flow up, and they one connects with the other.
Are you suggesting that the prayer and the mitzvot somehow energize the Torah?
No, it's the other way around. The Torah energizes the prayer and the mitzvot.
It's cyclical. So by us doing it, let's say Hashem feeds back in to the Torah, it gives us the cheshek somehow through Torah to continue to do it.
I think that's a good point. You see, the prayer and the mitzvot help to sensitize us that we want to study Torah. We want to make access to Torah, and then Torah is revealed, and then more and more Torah is revealed. So the more we study Torah, the more we have a taste for it, in a sense, and the more Torah we're able to cope with. And at the same time, it's the prayer and the mitzvot which realize the Torah that we learn and make it into something real. It's not just ideas beyond. It also has to do with the way one behaves in very simple practicalities of daily life. So it is a cycle which is a very spiritual cycle, reaching exalted levels, but also including the simple practicalities of life.
In the Olam Haba, they can't do mitzvot. Do people, is there a sense that the souls pray in Olam Haba?
Well, they certainly are described as nehenin miziv ha-shechina, that they are enjoying the radiance of the Shechina. So whether that's exactly a form of prayer, but they can't do mitzvot in the sense that mitzvot are here in this physical world. So the soul in the world, in the Garden of Eden, is at a level beyond this physical world. But in terms of approaching the divine, they seek to approach the divine. And the mitzvot that we perform in this world provide a protective sheath for the soul in its attempt to come closer to the divine, and it's able to come closer because it's wearing the garment of the mitzvot that we performed in this world. Okay. Next paragraph. Vehine. Now it's concerning these two forms of service. It says, "Katuv lech lecha ma'atzecha, go for yourself from your land umimaladetatecha, and from your birthplace." Ve'inyan ba'avodat ha'adam, what this means in the service of the person, hinei limda Torah. Now we're coming back to this idea of leaving one's will, one's mind, one's emotions. See, having started with that, then gone into prayer mitzvot or Torah, we're now looking at the way that the Torah has to be. Hinei limud haTorah tzarich liot ba'ofen kazeh. Study of Torah has to be in such a way. Sheyelech, he should go. Now, in Yiddish, the Rebbe was speaking in Yiddish. These things are transcribed in Hebrew. But in fact, the Rebbe was speaking Yiddish. And there is something you can say in Yiddish you can't say so easily in Hebrew. Ezol avekgein, he should go away, he should leave. Which the Hebrew word yelech doesn't carry, just says go. You'd have to say ya'azov, he forsakes. But going away mikol inyanav, from everything, all one's different appurtenances in life, one's self-perception, one's image of oneself, all these things, leave them behind. Uchanoda mi'inyan, as is known from the theme. Now, this is a very beautiful theme. At the very end of the Amidah, there's the passage, Elokai netzor l'shoni mera, God, guard my lips from speaking evil. And further on in that paragraph, which is a very interesting paragraph, concluding the Shmona Esrei, the Amidah, it says, "V'nafshi ke'afa l'kol tiyeh." Let my soul be as dust to everything. Petach libi b'toratecha. Open my heart to your Torah. Now, these two halves of the line, or these two adjacent lines, are being connected together. Da hatzlacha b'limud haTorah, the success in Torah study, he al yedei shemevatel metziyoto, is to the fact that the person nullifies and abnegates his own existence. Ka'afar lakol tiyeh, he becomes like dust to everything. And that's what it means. He goes away from his land. There's his land, the will. And he goes away from that. That's also what the sages say. Anyone who keeps the Torah from poverty will eventually keep the Torah from a position of wealth. Now, poverty is a state which is similar to being like dust. In other words, one's ego is completely like dust, and that's metaphorically termed poverty. V'zeo gam ma she'amru razal, that's also what the sages tell us. Kol ha'mekayemet ha'torah me'oni, anyone who keeps the Torah from poverty, in a time when he is in a state of poverty, in the end he will keep the Torah me'osher in a situation of plenty and of wealth. And it's known, the comments made about this in various books. Why doesn't it say in the Mishnah, which we're quoting here, why doesn't the mitzvah explain what will be gained spiritually by the person who keeps the Torah not from wealth and not from poverty, but in a middle state, normal? Vagam, so you understand the question, why does the Mishnah harp on this idea of keeping Torah from poverty? Why not say if you keep Torah, you know, at a medium income level? Does it moves from poverty to wealth, you know, what about the middle class? See, in the feudal system, there's only extremely wealthy and the peasants. there's no middle class. But they say it's the Jews who churned things up and got the middle class going. Vahagam shebepashtut hatam shebepashtut. Even though in simple terms, hatam ledavar, the reason for this, who Ki Torah la'rov tedaber. Torah speaks about the majority. V'rov ha'Torah, and mostly the Torah, mekoma, the place of Torah is b'mish mekayma me'oni. It's in the lap of those who keep it from poverty. K'mayma, as it says, hizahu b'vnei aniyim. The sages tell us, be careful with the children of the poor, shemehem teitzei Torah, because from them will come Torah. Now this is an interesting way of looking at it, that in general, Torah implies lack of wealth. One can, you know, one way of looking at that is that a person can devote his life to making money, or he can devote his life to some sort of spiritual, intellectual pursuit, which is generally less likely to produce large bank balances.
Osher here means like physical wealth.
Yes.
So like spiritual wealth.
Well, in fact, it's both, and the Rebbe really focuses on the spiritual wealth dimension. So the happiness and the sense of fulfillment and meaning which comes from studying Torah gives a person a sense of wealth, spiritual wealth. That doesn't necessarily pay the bills, but it does. Mikol makom ha'gufotam abai. But this itself, why is it that Torah is generally located with the poor? That itself needs to be answered. Acha inin hu kanal, but we can explain it as we said above. Hidavka al yedei avoda bevchinat oni ubitul. Now here it's connecting this idea of poverty. Through the service, which is in a way of poverty and selflessness, as you said, self-abnegation, nafshika afala kotiyah, being in a way of my soul is like dust to everything, al yedei ze baim, through that we come to petach libi betoratecha, open my heart to your Torah. So in other words, the way for us to get the Torah is by leaving behind our will, our mind and emotions, which in a sense is achieved through a kind of poverty, but in a very positive way. You see, the wealthy person, talking in ego terms, his ego is so wealthy that it weighs him down. He cannot leave behind his will, his mind, his emotions. He's stuck in them. And the person who's able to shrug those off and walk beyond them and go free, that's the one who is able to be dedicated to Torah and absorb Torah in a deeper level. That's what it means if you keep the Torah from poverty, being able to leave oneself, one's ego. I mean, all these things could be just characterized as ego, which is being left behind. So by leaving ego, one comes to Torah, and that is lekaima me'osher beruchniyot, keeping the Torah in spiritual wealth. So one goes free from one's ego, one is able to be dedicated and bonded with the Torah, and one has that tremendous wealth of Torah. Sheba el b'chinat ha'osher shebetocha, and that comes, that means the man comes to the quality of wealth in the Torah, ribui b'limud ha'torah b'ofen shela'av shela. Here he's describing, he's defining what is meant by spiritual wealth. A great amount, so to speak, of an abundance of learning Torah in a way of increasing Torah. Because when one studies Torah, the ideal is, as he says in the next two words, shemechadesh b'Torah, that he discovers new insights in the Torah. So that discovery of new insights, that is the increase of the Torah. And so then he can write, he writes down a lot of notes while he's studying this particular thing. And eventually, who knows, he takes all those notes and he publishes it as a book or booklet or whatever. Or in some famous cases, it gets put on the actual margin of the book. And so there you have another commentary on the Torah, on some aspect of Torah. So, and that is the Chidushei Torah, writing novellae, new points on Torah wisdom. Okoshei, and so that's real wealth. That's the ultimate spiritual wealth. Okoshem she'inyan zeh tzarech liyot b'limud Torah, and the same way that this has to be with Torah study, al derech zeh gam ba'avodat ha'tfila, it also applies to the service of prayer. The movement from below to above, which has to be, go for yourself from your land, as we've described here. As the Mishnah says, one only stands up to pray, only one has a sort of a heaviness of the head, meaning that one sees all the he says it in the next line. Lahainu al yedeit bonenut, that means through contemplation, bigdulat Hashem, of the greatness of God, the shiflut ha'adam, and the humility of man. Now seeing that infinite greatness of the divine, perceiving it, and also to some extent perceiving the infinitesimal smallness of man, that leads a person to what is called koved rosh, a sense of see of shiflut, of being low, from which he then comes to the exaltation of prayer. But in prayer there is a very interesting desideratum. The gamat tefillah atzma, the tefillah, the prayer itself, he often is in such a way Sha'adama mitpalel, that the man who's praying Omed ka'avda kamaymare, he's standing like a slave before his master. Total bitul. So that quality of bitul is the important factor here, which takes the person beyond and enables him, that selflessness enables him to reach upwards and also to receive the Torah downward. V'zeu lech lecha me'atzecha, that's what it means, go for yourself from your land, el ha'aretz asher areka, to the land which I will show you, dal yedei shleimut avodah zu, because through a wholesome service of this style, ba'im libchinat asher areka, you come to the point where God, now, what is God doing? Asher areka, that's a, this word asher areka has got two meanings. It can be, you come to the land which I will show you. So I will show the land to you. But asher areka can also mean that I will show you. You is transitive. I will show you to the world. I will show you to, so the question is, you transitive or intransitive? Either I will show the land to you, land then in the dative, yeah? Or I will show you to the world. So you are in the accusative, being shown to the world. So that's the two senses here, and the way the Rebbe takes it here, as which is explored at length in other discourses on the same parsha. So here it's speaking, the Rebbe focuses in on Gilui Mahuto Shel Yisrael, the revelation of the essence of the Jew. Sha'arei Otcha, I will show you, transitive, accusative. Va'achakach, and after that, Nimshach Kesir Makatuv. Then we come to the last part of the verse. Veheye Bracha, you will be for a blessing. Now that was the third question. The first question was about the double expression, Lech Lecha. The second one was about the order of one's land, one's birthplace, one's father's house. And the last question was about the connection with blessing, which is there at the end of these verses. The Al Yedei Shleimut Avodah B'Inyanim Eilu, through a wholeness of service in these matters, Mamshichim et habrachot milamayla, one draws down the blessings from above, but often in such a way that brachot nusunot lo biyadecha, the blessings are put in your hands. Da'ainu shebirchot Hashem nutunot l'Avram, the blessings of God, the divine blessings are given to Abraham, but often the shluchos shel Adam elyon kamoto, in such a way that the emissary of a person is like him. And in some sense, the Havdalah of Havdalot, the fact that Abraham is the Shliach of God, the emissary of God, he is given some, so to speak, powerfully empowered aspects of being able to give blessings. And as we see in the Torah, that the question of blessings became a big issue. Jacob and Esau both wanting the blessing that is being given by their father Isaac. So the power to give blessing is something taken very seriously in the Torah. And at various points we have long blessings, Jacob blessing his children at the end of his life, Moses blessing the Jewish people at the end of his life. And so the power of blessing is an important thing. So that's the, so in other words, it's through going through this process that we are given the power of blessing. So that's really the answer to the third part of the question. Now, the last page. V'zeh gam mashu mevoah b'drushim. This is also what is explained in Hasidic teachings. B'shem ha-midrash, in the name of the midrash. The inyan lech lecha, the words lech lecha, merameis, they hint l'inyan ha-gu'ula, to the idea of redemption. That when it says go for yourself, it's talking about redemption. Kichol inyanei ha-gu'ulaim bevchinat otiyot kfulot. Everything to do with redemption is expressed in the final letters, like the double letters. So the lech, the chaf is a final kaf. And so that doubling is and also the doubling of the word lech lecha. So there is a sense, you see, the long chaf is a double to the ordinary chaf. So there's the chaf in the middle of a word, the chaf at the end of a word. So that's the double of the chaf. Also, I think it means that the word lech lecha is repeated. And then in brackets, it says like this, kamo ha-shabbat, like the Sabbath, the chol iskud de-shabta kaful. All the business of Shabbos, everything we do on Shabbos is double. Now, the reference is to Midrash Tehillim, which I didn't have the chance to look this up before this evening. However, I think it means things like everything is done, has got like a double quality to it. There are two loaves of bread, two challahs. We have at least two candles. There's Kiddush in night, there's Kiddush in the day. It's various parallels on Shabbos, a sort of a double dimension. But that's my conjecture. Yeah, I would need to check up in this Midrash Tehillim to make sure. But Tam Adavahu, and the reason for this is Mishum She'inyan HaKefel, because the idea of being doubled, more al yichud zeh v'nukfa, that indicates the unification of the male dimension of the sfira with the feminine dimension of the sfira, which is translated here into yichud soviv kol almin, the unification of the transcendent radiance which surrounds the worlds, umemale kol almin, and the immanent radiance which is within the worlds. And this is the real content of the revelation of the future. Then it'll be in simple terms, the revelation of the radiance which transcends and is beyond the worlds. Lamata, it'll be revealed below, inside, within the light which is within the worlds. It's written, "V'nigla kvod Hashem, the glory of God will be revealed for Chal Chol Basa Yachdav, and all flesh will see together." This future concept is drawn down through the service of go for yourself from your land. In the literal sense, Avraham haya avodato. Al yedei avodato, that Abraham, by means of his service, kara b'shem Hashem keil olam, he called the name of God, God of the world, or God in revealed through the world. Ukriyadua hadiyug b'zeh, is known the point which is mentioned on this, shelo onem akeil ha'olam. It doesn't say the God of the world, elakeil olam, as if God and world are the same thing. Haynu shelakud for olam kulachad. The God and worldliness are really the same. Mishum she'ein od milvado, because there's nothing apart from God. Ulamayim is there, and beyond this, ein od, there's nothing else. So in other words, all is godliness. And so the world itself, revealing that the world itself is godliness. Because one sees in a revealed way, that the physical existence which we're surrounded with, the world of created being, of existence, in fact, that is the ultimate existence of godliness. So the source of everything is the ultimate of godliness. Last paragraph. The same way that it was for Abraham, so it is for every Jewish man and woman. Because they are the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The daughters of the four matriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. The same way that Abraham, through the fullness of his service in the way of go for yourself from your land, he reached the wholeness of that all families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham achieved that. And we usually think of that as the service of Abraham, and we are the children of Abraham. But here it's saying, no, we also achieve it. Alverech zehu ba'avodat kol echad ve'echad. So it is for the servants of each individual that through us are blessed the whole world. That al yedei avodat Yisrael, because through the service of the Jewish people, v'shnei ofanal yichanal, in those two ways of movement, from below to above and above to below, by malagiluim diat de la asid lavo, one reaches the revelations of the future to come, the azer folchelam yim safa blula. Then God will turn to the nations a clear lip, likhol kolam b'shem Hashem, that all will be called by the name of God, la'av doshchem echad, to serve God with one shoulder together. Vihi rotzen, may it be the will of God, shiyeh zeh b'kol of mamash, that this should take place very quickly. V'yikur mashe kosov, and it'll be fulfilled what is written. Kumi oiri kivo oirech, come and be radiant, because your radiance has come, as ukvod Hashem olayich zerach, and the glory of God is shining on you. Begula amitid v'ashlema, in the true and whole redemption, al yedei Mashiach tzidkenu, by means of the Messiah, Mashiach Tzidkenu, the righteous Messiah.